Hey, Clubhouse Conversation listeners, welcome to a very special archival episode.
We recorded this episode earlier this year before we settled into our News of the Week format, but we really want to share it with you anyway.
So sit back and enjoy the dulcet tones of your favorite hosts talking about technology and theater. Why have just one conversation when you could have conversations around conversations about conversations? I know, we were thinking the exact same thing.
Exactly, which is why we created Tech Theater Clubhouse Conversations. This is a podcast to continue that conversation. Every week on Clubhouse, 12:55 Eastern, if you want to come join us, we have amazing discussions with brilliant people at the intersection of technology and theater.
And we always walk away from these talks with so many thoughts, so we decided to share those thoughts and reach even more of our friends and collaborators. Hey, I am Jess. I am the CEO and co-founder of Broadway Unlocked. My background is in theater, and I love creating it, watching it, and of course, talking about it.
And I'm Joe, co-founder of Broadway Unlocked and recovering tech startup media guy, which, you know, honestly, I think makes me the perfect co-host to Jess's creative chaos mind.
I feel particularly attacked today because it's so fun. It's exactly how I feel. Creative chaos brain. So welcome to Tech Theater Tuesday, where we will get into that. We're having conversations around conversations about the conversations we just had a few hours ago on the infamous Clubhouse app. This week, we had several members of Maestra Music join us on stage to discuss their organization and their upcoming community concert, which is happening on Monday, March 29th, bit.ly.com/AmplifySpring2021. Casual plug. They are doing amazing work supporting and creating a community of female, non-binary, and gender non-conforming musicians in the theater industry. We need more of those folks. And man, Joe, I just said man. We're talking about women. Why would I do that? Boy, nope, that doesn't work either. Try again, Jess. Holy cow, they gave us
guys,
so much to talk about today.
That couldn't have been better scripted.
Welcome to my chaos brain.
Boy, oh boy. Other male pronoun transition.
It's a trap. I mean, it's hard. We talked about that a little bit today, right? Like about the sort of like internal biases that we have to overcome when we're hiring and all of that. And like that, the freaking male facing words that we use all the time that we don't even think about. Like that is I do that all the time.
Yeah, I had a whole moment in college, actually, taking a gender studies course and becoming aware of things like that. And it's when I adopted y'all into my vocabulary. And like to this day, people are like, oh, where are you from? You like used y'all. It's weird. Oh. And I'm like, oh, like I'm from New York. I just like y'all and like went through a phase or a period of like forcing myself to stop saying guys because it was like both a really easy thing I could do, but also like extremely challenging for me personally to like be aware of it, become aware of it. And it was a good exercise.
That's awesome. And I often think someone who was there today with us on Clubhouse, but didn't get up to speak, Andrea Prestonario, who's the founder of an awesome organization called Ring of Keys. You know, I've been able to work with them quite a bit as an ally in their work. And I think she and Ring of Keys has really helped me understand, as someone who didn't have a gender, like probably just like a little too old for this kind of stuff being taught in my university. So I didn't have that sort of exposure, that she's really helped me understand the ways in which like those gendered words can be hurtful to folks who don't have the privilege I have of having like a cis, right? Like majority sort of whatever the words are, viewpoint of myself, my identity, my sexuality, my gender, and all of that stuff. Like those gendered words can actually be really hurtful.
Yeah, I know. The awareness of it is, it's so easy to not be aware of and so hard to unsee it once you do see it, I guess. Mm-hmm. You're just like, oh yeah, this is like every other sentence out of my mouth and every other thing I see on TV and just the representation and just how baked into everything we do, talk about, see, watch, listen to, it's just, it's all there. And it's been there the whole time. We've just been like blind to it. And worse than that, blind to many, many more things that I'm not even realizing right now.
I know, we have a lot of work to do.
Yeah. So much.
Did you put a list of thoughts together for this? So here's what just happened in that moment, everyone, as I tried to fill that silence. I like to lead things. What? Weird. Surprise. And I was about to go into like host mode and just like transition us into something. But then I thought, Jessica, you best step back and see if Joe wants to lead this conversation that I think technically you're supposed to lead, not me. So bye.
I'm supposed to lead this one? Great.
I don't know. Generally, right? What'd you think about this conversation?
I actually wanted to start with just the story of Maestro, which like I both knew, but then there's like a different caliber, different flavor to like the person founding the organization telling you the story in their words through their perspective. And I was just like, wow, this is like incredible. And it just reminded me of so many origin stories of, you know, someone just realizing that there was like a gap or a need or some issue, and they're like, I can't not take this on. I can't not start this organization. And I love that as like an origin story for an organization like Maestro Music or a company or really anything, where there's just like that inherent need. You know, as Georgia was talking about, she's like, I was trying to put together a fully female band and I couldn't. And like, boom, like it just like hits so hard. It makes so much sense why Maestro needs to exist. And like just hearing that story again and hearing it through George's words, I was just like, oh my God, like so powerful, this story. And like, she should be telling it all the time to everyone all over the place. I hope it's part of the show on Monday.
I was going to say, casual plug, if you really want to hear that entire story, you should come join us on Monday night, March 29th, in the venue for the Maestro community concert and benefit. But yeah, I think like, what's even more remarkable about that, and I think about this every day when I look around at all my friends and collaborators in our business, is that this is a woman who is a working professional music director, composer, and conductor in film and musical theater full time. And then she was like, I gotta make this thing, it can't not exist. And now she's doing that and running Maestro, and it's growing in COVID. And then when she and I originally talked, you know, way back about doing this, working on this show together, she was like, you know, we're starting to work on some advocacy and like lobbying kind of stuff. And I was like, you're my hero. I mean, I know it's like cat pot call the kettle black, because that's generally my MO too, but it's just extraordinary for someone to take that on, what you just described in her position, because that's a whole nother life, like a second life, you know?
Yeah, it's a whole lot of work. And actually, that's another sort of topic that came up during today's conversation on Clubhouse, and something that you and I, Jess, we talk about all the time, where like there's this language, back to language, that we just happen to fall into or happen to use or happen to get comfortable with, of like, oh, there's not enough time, there's not enough space, like there's not enough energy, there's not enough something, and needing to make the time, to carve out the time, oh, it's so difficult to prioritize things like, you know, finding female musicians for the pit orchestras in, you know, the theater. And it got me thinking about like the language that we've started to use around, like, it's not about carving the time, it's not about fighting back for that time, it's like about like actually just prioritizing those things, like those are either priorities or they're not. Like it's not this pernicious idea that you need to stay up an extra hour or you need to, you know, invent another hour in the day. It's that it has to be a priority, it has to be sitting at the front of your story, it has to be sitting at the front of your brain and your mind, it has to be part of what the ethos of your company or your organization or whatever it might be is. And I wanted to ask you the question about like the couple of examples that Georgia was using around like, oh, this was, you know, intentionally a fully female band, or sort of the like novelty almost of any time there was like either a fully female band or, you know, female members of a band, it was sort of done as part of the story as opposed to just like, this person's a brilliant musician, let's put them on this show. And just like, if you've seen or if you have any experience with sort of like that shift, because I feel like there's power in it being part of the story, and it's like, yeah, this is a fully female band because the show needs that, it demands that, it's part of the story, it's part of why you're showing up, it's part of why you're here. But like the trap that becomes, where it's like, oh, okay, well, we've carved out this corner for female musicians, and now we don't have to worry about or have to think about or have to prioritize, you know, finding them and including them and bringing them in to other shows, because they have their corner over there, and now we can just like forget about them again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's super interesting, because with George's story, particularly, the show is Sweet Charity, and that is a story about a woman finding her power, you know, although albeit like from the whatever that was, 60s or something like that. But And that totally makes sense, like you just described, right? Like, oh, I didn't know that story, by the way, actually. And so when I was watching the shoot, when she recounted that story, I was like, oh, that director's brilliant. What a great idea. I love that she kind of put that mandate out there. And that too seems like it's like a little bit of a cross purpose move if I had to put myself in that director's shoes, right? Which is like a support the story of Sweet Charity. I love that. Like it's, we kind of make the whole ecosystem, right? The story. But also I imagine like it's an opportunity. Sometimes you actually need that opportunity to start affecting that change, right? Like, because people are more willing to say yes. Like a bunch of producers had to sign off on that, right? Like it's not like one person gets to make that decision in a commercial theater world. And I don't know the whole, you know, in depth. I don't know all the inner workings of how that works, but I do know there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen. But on the other side, I agree. And I think about it often with our company actually, right? Like I don't even know really what's going on, to be honest with you. I was thinking like my own personal fight in this game, like that I love to lead a team of men. I love that because it feels equally kind of awesome to me. And it's like, that's my instinct. But I look around this company and I as particularly as like in the beginning before you were on too, like I naturally started reaching out to women. Like we're so women heavy in this company, right? I mean, what is it? What do you think it is? Like 80% women, 20% men or something like that?
Well, fun fact from our producer, Natalie, we are currently 50-50 men to women.
We are. Oh, amazing. That's so cool. That's so funny. And now that brings up another question for me, which is like, why does it feel so predominantly female heavy in my mind? Like, because my brain was convinced, maybe that's just residue from the beginnings when it really was a bunch of women. Mm-hmm. But I'm very inclined as I start staffing things up. It's not intentional on my part at all. It's just the first person I think of, to your point. I'm like, oh, I know this person. Mm-hmm. And they are so good at what they do. And it's just like, oh, that's another woman.
Yeah, I wonder like where the bias comes in. Because I love even with the words you just use, you're like, they're so good at what they do. Like that's your priority first.
Yeah.
Like it's the bias of the association with like, I guess you have more female friends than male friends. I don't know if that's true, but it could be the case.
Totally not true.
Okay.
In fact, yeah, I have far more male friends and collaborators because I think for a really, really long time, I was also much more comfortable with that as a working relationship, funny enough, given all my moaning and sadness and craziness I load on Joe about being a female leader around a bunch of men every day. Sorry, not sorry.
Nah, I mean, those gripey conversations that we get into with the mansplainers, I feel you, and I'm glad that we can empathize together. And
yeah,
I
totally
appreciate you for opening my eyes in those moments to like the difference that feels to you in those conversations. I also do want to just call out, taking a half step backward to our 50-50 men to women. That's actually an example right there of us sort of putting the binary in place and just talking through it as if it is like the norm.
Oh, interesting. Oh, right. Like the standard. Oh, Lord.
It's everywhere. It's going to happen all the time. We got to do a better job of seeing it, calling it out.
I also, I don't know about you, but when I was listening to Laura and Kate and Georgia speak about the work of Maestra, obviously to this exact point, it just resonates across so many different parts of my life. I don't know if that was the case for you, even outside like the very specific alleyway of staffing female non-binary and transgender women in the musical theater, which is like literally as niche as you can get, right? But so much of it resonates outside of that. And I felt very grateful to be sharing the stage with you and Jermaine as the two men, because I think you both are not only such good and active participants in like trying to define and create and carve the change we want to see for women, but also, and I think a lot of this about Jermaine, just because I've known him for long, like he and I have been through this with racial bias, right? Like there's so many parallels to what we were talking about today, which just like, I was like, oh, these are all the conversations Jermaine and I have had over the years, right? And the work we do and the fights we've gotten in and the shitty crap mess ups that I've gone through with him that he's, you know, been gracious enough to stay my friend through. It's just it feels very interconnected to me.
Yeah. And I appreciate as well, you know, the the way that you did talk about it in that conversation, but more specifically the work that like we do together and the work that you do calling me out and then making the space for us to have the conversations that are difficult about the way that we interact over meetings and, you know, how you speak, maybe feel spoken over or something like that in those instances. And that's like work that I appreciate that you're doing to make me aware of.
It's funny because so the reason I asked Georgia if they do leadership training, I was specifically thinking, so I, if you haven't listened yet, please listen. Also come to Amplify 2021, March 29th, tickets at bit.ly.
bit.ly/Amplify Spring 2021.
Yeah. Is that the right? I just hope I said that right. Is that right? Yeah. Okay, good. But the reason, so I asked Georgia if they do like professional development training, and then that's what led to this conversation that Joe was referring to. And I asked that specifically because actually once, my therapist and I were chatting about the fact that from her standpoint, like she, the patriarchy, like rerouting and redefining relationships outside of the patriarchy has to be an active process. Like there's no way for it to just fix itself. And so to your point about the like work that we do, and I heard it, and that's why I asked Georgia if they did any of that kind of training. Is it like, look, we're both in, right? We're both here for it, you know, for the work and to have women in leadership. And we still like have to work so hard, and it's really difficult, and it's personal, and it's vulnerable, like you were saying during the conversation today, and there's no roadmap for it. And it's really active. And I was just thinking in that moment when she was talking, I was like, oh my God, like, that's something I would want if I was a conductor or music director, right? Like, how do I engage my male counterparts in this active work without offending them, or like, or maybe they do just do offend them. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, can you both offend and pull them in at the same time? Because mm-hmm. like, there also is like the internalized patriarchy, like that I feel and that I've like felt actually like contentiously inside myself across my own youth and development, that like I was like an effeminate kid and like, you know, still I'm kind of effeminate and like fought against that for many years because like that was, you know, the archetypes that I saw. And I was like, oh, the way I feel must be wrong because all of these things I'm seeing. And now that's like become internalized and then externalized through my actions, behaviors, my, you know, the power structures that exist, you know, my role as a leader in this company, like all of those things, like I start to now reflect back those things that I've internalized. And so it's like challenging it within myself because we all exist in this society together.
This is just so much.
Yeah. And that's why I got a nose ring and wear makeup and nail polish.
Nail polish, yeah. Exactly.
Solid. I want to look pretty just like everyone else.
Amazing. It's I was thinking too today that in our work we often are collaborating with organizations like Maestra who need to raise money, right? That's just happens to be a byproduct of like live shows, is that's heavily a lot of folks we work with. But with Maestra, and maybe this is because it's personal, because I know Georgia and because, you know, I've wanted to do work with them for a long time. I just like can't get past the, like my brain is squarely around the opportunity to bring all of these amazing people together and to provide visibility and to have kids at this thing, seeing all these women on stage and knowing that they can do this. Like it, this Maestra concert on Monday for me is just like so much more about that than in my brain than the actual fundraising, even though, yes, of course we are all here to raise money so their work can continue. But that's the thing that's like not ever gotten to happen before, you know?
Which part hasn't gotten to happen? I'm not sure I followed exactly.
Like bringing everybody, like all of these people who need to see themselves in this, these stories we're telling on Monday night together, so they know they're not alone, so that they can see themselves on screen, so that they can start to make connections with people that, you know, are invested in the same sort of like growth and access that they are. Just, I'm so excited for that. It's like, I don't know. It's an interesting, it's just not how I usually feel about fundraisers. I'm like, we're here to raise money. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And you're like, cool, I hope we raise money, but I really want to like let this whole generation of people and maybe even some, you know, some people who didn't know it was possible, didn't like, you know that they could, you know, get into this field as a woman. I don't know exactly, but to like see that and to like, is Maestro sort of ushering in this whole era of you know, new composers and musicians, and that's really cool.
It is really
cool. But also, we need to raise money. So go to bit.ly/amplify spring 2021.
I think too, I'm flipping. I'm chaos creative brain. Here she comes. But I'm making an assumption here, so I'm going to make it lightly. But like, for instance, you know who would have never gotten the chance to direct a broadcast in a normal, the way our industry is made up of the gatekeepers? Kate Baldwin. You know who fucking did a really good job on that broadcast? Kate Baldwin. And like, that's what happens. You know what I mean? When there are more women in place, and i.e. like patriarchy structures sort of being dismantled in some piece or part. I don't know. I see that often. It's like all of the, you know what? It's like the, I think this is connected to the story that they told today of the composer who, or the musician, and you'll have to go back and listen to it. You should anyway. But that was basically a man decided to say, that's why I don't want female musicians in the pit, because we don't have a women's bathroom, right? And my reaction to that, and I'm probably butchering that story, but it was something like that, was dominant power structures will find any reason to keep it in place. Like, the absurdity of that statement is so like, this isn't real. This is just protecting power structures. Like, literally not real. A bathroom? Really? Oh yeah, you can't go back and listen. Natalie just said, you keep saying go back and listen, but it's not a real thing. And so you got to be at Clubhouse if you want to even fucking know what I'm talking about. So you're welcome.
This is a great podcast in which we tell inside jokes so that good. You can never get on the inside of.
But like, there's no reason that Kate, that's connected in some way. Like, there's no reason that Kate shouldn't have gotten a chance to direct something, right? Like, because she is talented, and whatever Georgia saw in her is always there. It wasn't just like there in front of Georgia. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, and like, I want to take us a little away, or a little aside, I guess. But when you were just talking about that and sort of the upholding of power structures, it just reminded me of like the banality of evil, where it's not always malicious. It's not always like, you know, the Hitler-esque approach to like, I am the most evil person in the world, and like, I'm attempting to uphold these power structures because I am that evil person. It's the like the simplicity of this conductor being like, I don't want to think about the fact that we also now need a women's bathroom, and so I'm going to uphold the power structure. It's just like, it's like laziness, it is, you know, fear, it is whatever, it's all those like little things. It's not actually someone who is upholding the mantle of, you know, white supremacy or patriarchy or whatever it might be, which makes it even worse, because it's just in the cracks, it's just in the language, it's just like all the little things. And it's really, really easy to just be like, ah, it's hard to make change, so we're just not going to, we're just going to let the status quo continue to exist. And it's totally banal, but it is also oppressive, and it is also like, yeah, going to prevent progress just because progress is slightly more difficult than not progress, or, you know, this maintaining the status quo.
Yeah, and it's sort of like, you know, Georgia was saying she was getting wound up talking about it on Clubhouse. Like, you have to be wired to be a fighter, because it is inherently a fight that is exhausting no matter what. Everything, right? Like, I think about that being an actor is, you got to be wired to be in a fight your whole life, because right, no one is going to cast, everything is a fight to get cast, to have your career. It's like a fight, and it's tiring. In activism, in change of power structures, everything's a fight. And the bias, I guess, like you said, towards laziness, not in the bad way, just like, not everyone is a fighter in that way, I guess. Like, really, I hate it. Feels like it stacks the deck against progress and change.
Yeah, I mean, it is stacked, which is like why it has to become. I want to take us back to like the, you know, diversity or focus on women as like feature, not bug, and like part of the story of the show, and part of the reason why I want to go see this play or be part of this broadcast or join in, and like how to have it be both. Right? It's not just the sandbox that we let the women play in. It's like part of the story, but it's also, you know, not a limiting factor. And like, how do we keep that story going and make it a part of our company to you know, seek out and be have more diverse voices represented than just our 50-50 male-female split, which go us. But what's next?
It's so true. But like, I think a lot about that, right? For us, and I know we've talked about this, so it's like not new news, but we have this opportunity to build from the ground up with that in mind. Whereas most companies, organizations, brands, structures are having to somehow rebuild the Titanic while it's still at sea, right? Like, that's, I mean, not that it's easy going on our end. It's not. And there are a thousand things in the way, but like, that's it. It's the thing we talked about today, where the Samsung VP, right, like helps seed women across the thing. As long as you and I don't have to do all that work, as long as we build this with diverse voices from the ground up top. I was, you know, again, reading an article this morning about technology, like, you know, startups and C-suites and stuff like that. And it's just this minuscule amount of women anywhere near a C-suite in technology and startup land, much less, you know, getting venture funding and everything else. But in my reductive brain, if we build diverse voices into the leadership from the beginning of this, like, we inherently can't express our biases throughout the entire company because it's just too big for us, right? It's like too big for our bias.
There's something in there. I don't know what it is, but like, it's like too big to fail is like got a net negative connotation, but too big for bias. I don't know. I'm searching for it. I don't feel it yet, but we'll find it.
No, it's true. Like, we have bias, right? Like, we can't stop that. That is a thing. We can't ever do enough work. So it's like a trap. We just build it too big with, you know, diverse voices. And then our bias is only a little part of the conversation inside, you know, their structure.
Yeah.
This is my dreamy wish, you know.
Back to the process part, like if part of the like we're doing the work by seeking out the voices, hiring the people, having them be our collaborators, as opposed to just, you know, what was the term that was used? Diversity hire. I feel like Jermaine called that out, is like, yeah. He hates that term.
Yeah.
Having that work be done across that entire process, such that the system that is the company reflects all that work and upholds the hard fought wins that we had by having those hard conversations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. And, you know, by extension, our relationships with organizations like Maestra or Ring of Keys or whatever it is, the Broadway Advocacy Coalition, that we can also build them and their ideas and thoughts and the work that they're doing into our work, or support them like we are doing with Amplify and the concert on Monday night, March 29th. Tickets at bit.ly/AmplifySpring2021. They're free, too. Did we say that? You don't even have to pay. You should, but you don't have to.
Show up, donate, enjoy. It's going to be amazing. So yeah, go get those tickets, bit.ly/AmplifySpring2021, and let us know what you think. You know, these conversations about conversations around conversations only happen if y'all are continuing the chain. So join us on Twitter with the conversation. You can tweet us at @bywayunlocked. So that's @bwyunlocked with the hashtag techtheaterch and share us your thoughts.
And then of course, join next week's conversation on Clubhouse so you don't have to listen to this going, what are they talking about? We kick things off at 12:55 Eastern with a nice digital land acknowledgement, some pronouns and introductions. We have our own club on Clubhouse now too, so if you search Broadway Unlocked, you can find us through that as well. But regardless, no matter how you get there, join us in that room, 12:55 Eastern on Tuesdays. Raise your hand, jump in, and share your thoughts.
Do it. And we are always looking for people to come moderate and join us for shows, put on their own. So if you have good ideas, if you want to be part of the Broadway Unlocked crew, go to broadwayunlocked.com/ch and talk to the very nice Robo Jess about becoming a moderator.
Every single topic we've talked about, fun fact, has been inspired by the people on our stage. So please do tweet us, slide into our DMs, join in the conversation. And until then, we'll see you next week.
Bye.